Blog Talk Radio.
And greetings, Hotep. Welcome to the Care to Read Room. You've got your Omeka 7 live coming to you straight from my studio. I'd like to bid each and every one of you a good evening and happy African American History Month. For those of you who are continuing to celebrate the month of February, I want you to know that it's very important that you should get your children involved. How can we pass on a legacy to our children if they're not around for us to pass the baton to? Ladies and gentlemen, this segment deals with how can we help our children receive the legacy. And we're looking at how to continue to create a great heritage in our children. And how do we pass that legacy on to those children who are usually absent from our presence and not there to learn to see how we incorporate extended families? And how do we prepare our children for the challenge that we know is destined to come in the New World Order? We know the New World Order is upon us because we're in the year of 2012. And with looking at that this year, meaning that there's some things that are happening in the universe that we ought to be cognizant of, and we ought to relate those things to our children, because we know that if they're not conscious about the cosmic, they won't want to help you in ushering in the new cosmic. They won't know anything about it. It will be strange to them. It will be foreign. So start teaching them now about the cosmic, explaining to them that the earth and people are related and connected. Just as the earth goes through changes, there will be changes, subtle changes in our body, in our condition of our health, and we are affected by the cosmos because we are connected. The same material that the cosmos was made from, we're made from that. Now, if your children don't know the terminology, make them acquainted with it. Go look this term up and do some research on it. We did a whole discussion on the cosmic and how the cosmic universe has a macro universe and a micro universe, which mimics what is above. Whatever is above is below. And some school districts are even trying to replicate the microcosmic in the classroom so that they will give children a sample of what is above and what is expected of them below. Now, our children are very, very vital in this discussion, ladies and gentlemen. So you want to bring them in the room, and you want them to know about the ancestors, and you want them to explain, you want to explain to them why it's necessary that they know that Uncle George and Uncle Sam have not went anywhere and that they will come back through the lives of your children. Their faces will show up and they will recycle themselves through your newborn children. You must explain to them that you're not worshiping dead people or believing in incarnation, reincarnation just for the heck of it. You are following in your ancestors' footsteps because they believed in reincarnation and they believed that matter could never die, nor could it ever be recreated. It only dissipates, and that which has come from the earth will go back to the earth. But that spirit, it resides out in the macro universe, ladies and gentlemen. Now, for those of you who are New Age scientific buffs, you don't have to be astute about all this stuff. Only have some background knowledge in foundations like Christian Science, understanding a little bit about the New Age, if you will. And there's another term I'm thinking of as well. And I think one of our brothers here online, he does a very good job of presenting things that pertain to the concept of dealing with scientific method and understanding how things such as clairvoyant behaviors and New Age fits together. Now, some of you Christians may not want to accept this because you are saying that it's anti-Christ, that it's against Christ. It's not against Christ. It just predates Christ, and therefore it looks as if it's going against the grain, but it's not. These are things that were done during Jesus, before Jesus' time, and because they were done before Jesus' time, these are things that are scientifically put together. So I want to also say that for those of you who are non-believers, stop talking about what you believe, because what you believe doesn't mean anything. A belief doesn't have to have facts to back it up. It's about what you feel. So therefore, we know our feelings change every day. Our emotions go up and down. We cannot base anything on a feeling, church. We cannot base anything on how I feel, what I think. It has to be factual. And if it cannot be documented or backed up with facts, then you should back up away from it. Won't you back up off that concept if you don't have no facts to go along with? I feel, well, you know I feel. This is how I feel about it. We all got our feelings, and they change, especially women. Ours change frequently. As our emotions change, we can come out of some bad, oh, I feel like this today. Next week, you ain't feeling like that no more. So what does it profit us to have a feeling when we don't have documented evidence to back up our feeling? So let's teach our children, collect facts. And if there's not enough evidence to support those facts, then stray away from that concept and not necessarily believing, but adhering to things. Stop using that term, I believe, I feel. That's why we're in the shape we're in now, because we're believing and feeling so much up in the church, and we have no facts to document our feelings. So let's get real. I got my lab coat on today, and I even put on my little astute hat. I'm going to get down with it today, and in a minute, we're going into the professorship role, because we've got to talk serious, and we've got to explain to our children that we're not worshiping Hank. We're not worshiping spirits for the heck of it. We are connecting with our higher self so we can become stronger and have power. And you know what power is? Power is the ability, one professor says, the ability to define something in life, in nature. Then profess what that concept is, and make others accept it as their own. Now, that is powerful. We want our children to be powerful. We want them to understand how to use power properly and how to use the ability for leadership properly. Because sometimes we mishandle power, and power is only put into the hands of those who could properly handle it. You don't go giving authority and power to children. So our children have to be fully developed and mature enough to handle these things. So you work with them and develop them so they can properly mature and that they're not stagnant in their infantile behavior. Some of us as adults continue to produce infantile behavior, and we keep repeating and going back over things again and again because we haven't matured on that subject. Let's become matured on the subject of spirit. Don't let anybody beat us in the topic of spirit. I didn't ask you to be religion, and I didn't ask you to take up with religion. I said be spiritual. Spiritual things will call you to have eternal life. You will have eternal consistency, not temporal. Material things are temporal. They're not lasting. They pass away in time. We are trying to get something that has endurance so that we will be like that ever-ready battery, lasting until endurance. We want to be have infinite wisdom, and we want to be someone that can say that our ancestors are infinitely here on earth, and they will never perish. And that's why we can look at the mortal and immortal. We want to be mortal, and we want to understand that spirit is mortal. So we attach ourselves to spirit so that we could become mortal instead of immortal. Now, we believe in the fact that there is reincarnation, that we will resurrect ourselves the day we die. Our spirit is freed, and it is released. So therefore, you have a releasing of the spirit when the soul goes down and the rattling of the body, something called EMI. Say it with me, EMI. I got my lab coat on, and I got my astute hat on now. We're getting ready to talk about the subject like professor to student. Eni is a term that's used by the Africans, and we're going to get into that in a minute. So hold your point there, and let's get ready to walk over to the Talking Cure Room so we can resurrect our ancestors and call them into being, and we can do the healing process right here at our altar. Are you ready? I'm going to get cleaned up while you are getting yourself together, and it's important that I should purify myself. Purification is in order. I think I'm purified now. And I've hollowed out this space, so this space is also hollowed out and set aside, sanctified for the purpose of the work. And those who are standing on that ground, take your shoes off. You're standing on holy ground. If you have an altar in your house, take your shoes off around it. You want to honor that area and hollow that space. So as we go over to our altar, I want to dedicate a libation to Oladulamare Akamare. Akamare is the god of the outer courts and the inner courts of heaven. He resides over the building of this universe. He does not take dominion over the earth any longer. So you can't go skipping in the glory telling God on anyone. He doesn't want to hear it. He has given you dominion over this earth, and he told you to subdue it. So I pour libations to Akamare, and I say Ashe. And we also say Oromalaya as our prophet, too, we acknowledge. We like to pour libation to our Father Spirit, Obatala, and I say Ashe Obatala for my spirit and my father, Robert Jenkins. I pour libation for the spirit of my mother, Clara Jenkins, for Yamenja. Pouring libations to the east, I say Ashe. Pouring libations to the west, I say Ashe, and Oyai is the wind that we call in. Pouring libations to the south, and I say Ashe. And finally, pouring libations to the north. I light a candle for my mother's spirit that she may have light to light the way, and I say Ashe. I light a candle for my father's spirit, and I say, Ashe, to light the way for him to find his way home. Find your way home, Mom. Find your way home, Father. And as we light the candle, may they find their way here to the house where their family lives. And ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to offer up a prayer for our ancestors, calling out my personal ancestors, Clara Mae Jenkins, Robert Jenkins, Eugene Lilly, Tommy Pete Harvey, Essie Lee Pope, Sam Lilly, George Lilly, Tom Harvey, Michelle Harvey, Michael Harvey, Mary Lou Hawkins, calling on the name of Isa Lilly, Bessie Lilly, Ruby Lilly. We call on our loved ones and ask them to come back and please to sup with us and be a part of this family's great circle. We call on Shaky S. Diaz. We call on Marcus Garvey. We call on Nina Simone. We call on Harriet Tubman. We also call on the honorable name of Louis Armstrong. We call on the name of the honorable Marcus Garvey. And we call on these people, our heroes, heroes, that they will come back and be a part of the greater circle. And my prayer is that each and every one of your eyes will be open as you begin to teach your children about the legacy and passing on the legacy of spirit and how to become immortal and how to free the spirit. And we know that these bodies hold us in captivity, and our real freedom comes when our body is released, when our soul is released from the cavity of the body that holds it captive. We thank you, Father, that we minister to our children and that we make our children's heir of a throne, that we show our children that the rich heritage and legacy that we too can pass down the legacy to our children, and they will light the candle of faith, and they will usher in their ancestors and remember to cast out the names upon the water as they pour libation. We ask that every household represented here today will not take this lightly, but set up an altar and erect that altar to their mothers and fathers and their loved ones, and be forevermore reminded it is our ancestors who opened up the way to make it clear for us and plain, not only our angels, if the angels being lower than the ancestors, our ancestors are much higher. Why not embrace our ancestors and pay homage to them? They're the closest thing to God that you will ever get. They're the closest person that can make an intercession for you. Michelangelo and basically all of the 11 or 12 angels, they may be assigned to you, but your mothers and fathers have always been assigned to you. And some of you might not see angels, so you might miss them. But how could you miss your mother and your father, who you know well, and you are acquainted with their spirit? Why not embrace their spirits today and teach your children of this great legacy and pass it on? It is my prayer that you will pass on the legacies. It is my prayer that this African American History Month, you will not only pass on the legacy, but you will exemplify what the rituals are and the purpose of the rituals, and you will not take these things lightly. You will expediently train and bring your children up in the way that they should go so that they can hide these things in their heart, that they might not sin against God. It is my prayer now that you will spend more time in speaking to God and meditating. Let's meditate with one sound so that we're all on one accord. And as we do that, that means that we're not asking God for anything, but we're on one accord. Do you not know that the Africans pray in unison on the same day of the week all over the world? So therefore, it's not necessarily what they're asking God for. It's that massive amount of energy that's going out into the universe that God honors. And if we were so diligent and disciplined, we could pick a day that all denominations of people could pray on or meditate, and we'd be more powerful in lifting up these hindrance things in our lives and in our universe. And we could be reassured that we're praying to the same God, and we wouldn't have to be arguing over whose religion was right and who's been dipped more than one time and how many 10 Hail Marys you have to do. We wouldn't even worry about all those issues. We would just start. The Bible just said, be ye holy, for I am holy. Just be holy. Forget all that nonsense about having manners of our fathers and traditions of our father. We've caught up into so much stuff, people. We're caught up into so much stuff that our traditions are harming us that we can't even get a prayer through. We can't even get the ear of the king because we're so much caught up in traditions. And our children look at us and see how wrapped up and tangled up we are in all these traditions. And we have to be willing to change. We have to be willing to see something a little differently. There's more than one way to skin a cat. And quit telling people that Jesus is only one way to God, and that's through Jesus. That's a lie. Because God would not have waited for Jesus to get here for those people that predated Jesus. The Kemetic people were here long before Jesus was. Do you mean to tell me God forgot to give them a way to get to them? Do you mean to tell me that God in his infinite wisdom did not show them how to bow down to him? They had to wait till one lonely prophet came? It's a lie. There are many prophets, and there are prophets in every denomination and race of people, and we ought to acknowledge them and know that they brought truth and wisdom and grace to their people. And as we become respectful, we'll respect all the prophets, and we won't question where their methodology come from and how great ours is over theirs and whose is right. God doesn't care about whose is right. He gives all of us a measure of faith and a little bit of the truth. So nobody can receive in their religion all of the truth. How is it that you think God would give you all the truth? Then there'd be no need for other religions. So let's stop this nonsense, because I'm a little tired of it and sick of it. Everywhere you go, you see these sanctimonious so-called Christians who people don't want to be bothered with because they're phonies. You got to be real. You got to be real. And one thing I do know, when you join a church, that's a membership. You're joining a business. One thing the Caucasians do know, when they join the church, they know it's a membership and they go there to do business. We're the only one become, as black people, become mesmerized over church. So we can't do business. We're so caught up in the mesmerization, just mesmerizing ourselves and can't see clear to the morning. So we got to get out of that. Church is a membership. And when you go in there, you have to go in there ready to rightfully divide the word of truth. And something a minister said, that the Bible is rightly stated, but everything stated in the Bible is not right. So you got to get over this thing. You got to get over it. And when you get over this thing, you got to stop judging one another to see who appears to be more holy and who appears to be more righteous. So when we get over that and leave that thing alone, then we can pass on some real traditions to our children. And they'll see we're real. Children know when you're not real. They know when you're phony and putting on. Some of these people that get on the radio, on these airways, the children know that as soon as you get off the airway, you're going to be back to your hellish ways. So we're not looking for you to come on the airways and pretend to be holy. We're looking for you to have a heart for God's people. Do you not understand that there were many people in the Bible that raised hell? But they had a love for God. David raised hell. He raised hell so much that he went after Bathsheba, knowing that she was married. But he still had a heart after God, and he danced out of his clothes, and God still blessed him. So don't tell me that every one of you are perfect. That's why God is making up the 30%, because we can only do a certain percentage. So it's time to stop faking it. It's time to stop pretending to be holier than thou. Nobody wants to be caught up in these false churches anymore. So why don't you break free from that? And why don't you talk about how we're going to live down here on this earth and quit talking about, in that sweet by and by, God is going to catch me up with the wind and we're going to all be caught up in the wind. You're going to be caught up in something for real. But you need to learn how to live down here on earth. Yes, he said he would go and prepare a mansion for us, and there was many mansions that he had prepared, but you got to learn to live and abase and abide right where you are and learn contentment down here on this earth where Jerusalem also reigns. So as we come into some truth, ladies and gentlemen, in this topic, I want us to come into some truth and understand. We got to be real. We can no longer waste time being phony and putting on traditions of our father and putting on formalities. Our children see us. And if we're going to pass a legacy to our children, we're going to have to pass on a legacy they want. The reason why our children are not passing these things on, because they don't want it. They'll say, I see what it does to my mother and my father. I don't want it. It's got to be something they desire. So we got to exemplify something that's well worth it. First of all, start acknowledging all denominations of people, because young people have friends in every walk of life. They do not discriminate against their friends, and neither should we. We should embrace every race of people and every denomination of people, the Jew, the Muslim, and the Muslims are the most picked on because everybody wants to hate them. For what reason? We've got to learn to love people in spite of their differences, and we've got to embrace them. One of the things that Africans should have learned out of all of the slavery, if we learn to love our master, if we learn to love our master who despitefully used us, we can forgive just about anybody. Now, let me say, Caucasian, black people have forgiven you for everything you could think of. And we have fallen prey to so many problems because we love you so much. And we go out of our way to show you how much we love you. Now, how about giving some of that love back, Caucasian? How about embracing an African-American this Black History Month, putting your arms around a brother and saying, man, I haven't treated you right. I want to do right by you. I want to open up some doors for you. I want to give you some grace. I haven't given you grace and mercy, and I've been controlling everything. I want to give you a chance to go forward. How about it, Caucasian? How about it? Put your arms around somebody and say, if I don't have but 1 month out of the year to show my gratitude for what you've done in this system, I'm going to embrace you. Because I know off the backs of African Americans that 13th and 14th Amendment, most people outside of African Americans have benefited from that amendment and not us ourselves. And so many other things that African Americans have made a way for other people to benefit. Now it's time. It's time, Hispanics, to say thank you, African Americans, because I know I didn't march with you on Washington, but there were some rights that you got for us, too, in the immigration law. Thank you, African Americans, that you opened up a way by what you did to make it possible for all minorities. Why don't you do it today, Hispanics? Put your arms around somebody. And Japanese and Chinese and Asian, all of the dances you're doing on stage and getting down, you're mimicking everything you see we have done. We're giving you music and dance and showed you how to do the doggone thing, but nobody wants to give us credit for what we're doing. Why don't you just say thank you, African Americans? You just do things to the max, and we use you as a measuring, and you are the norm. Thank you for setting the norm. Somebody, anybody, stand up and thank the African Americans. This is African American History Month. We're not just going to be doing the doggone thing in February. We're going to do this thing throughout the 365 days of the year. And I purpose in my heart to have African American History Month every week in my house. And I'm telling you to do the same thing. Because we don't wait to 1 month out of the year to acknowledge ourselves and put on our African garb. We wear our African garb proudly every day. And we demonstrate who we are as an African people every day. Now, I wanted to say one thing. I don't know where you are in your position with other cultures, but this is a month where all people can unite by embracing each other's hand. And if you are not even next to anyone, just put your hand out anyway and make believe and pretend that you're embracing someone of a different race. Embracing them, because you know the suffering that African Americans have gone through. You know the struggle we've had. Sometimes through our dignity, we hold our heads up and we pretend it never happened. It's psychological confusion, rearrangement when you pretend it never happened. That's why you have so many mental confusion and mental unarrest in this country with African Americans, because we are living a lie. Somebody tap the other person on the shoulder and remind them you've gone through something, and I know you've gone through something. So when you see them on the streets tomorrow, shake their hand and say, good job, you made it. And give them a high five and say, keep on going, brother. Keep on going, sister, because we go through something. We go through something every day, a psychological rearrangement, trying to determine if we want to be black one day or be more suited for Caucasians accepting. We straighten our hair to the max so that we can be accepted. We then bleach our skin so that it won't be so abrasive to others. Then we dye our hair so it looks more like the norm, we think. We go through so much psychological rearrangement that we've driven ourselves insane. So help us, Caucasian. Help us, Hispanics. Help us, Asian, to remember who we are. When we do all these things to ourselves just to be loved by other races, help us and remind us, Caucasian, that it's not necessary, that you love us just for who we are and you respect us for our culture. Help us to be ourselves so we won't rearrange our follicles of our hair and straightening it and coloring it and bleaching our skin and subjecting ourselves to the possibility of carcinoma. Help us to understand that God created us this way because we're old people. We've been here before. We're the oldest people in the world, and we are the mothers and fathers of the world. And if you honor us, other minorities and Caucasians, if you honor us as your elders, it will go well with you because they don't know a time when we weren't here. But be reminded to honor us, and please discontinue the racism and the hatred amongst us for no reason. Our children shouldn't have to carry this torch anymore. No more dogs should be sicked on African American people, and they shouldn't be watered down anymore for what they believe. We should be able to come out with full substance, and we should be able to come out now that we've come through the civil rights movement. We should be able to come out now and be ourselves. But we're still rearranged, and a lot of us are still locked up in institutions mentally because we permanently rearranged our thoughts. But now, to him who much has been given, much is required. Now we must stand up and be a real, genuine people and be counted in the circle of life with all of the other races, whether they like us or not. But I will say, Caucasian, go to work tomorrow and shake a black man or a black woman's hand and encourage them, because every day they go through a struggle just to be black. It is one of the hardest things in the world that we'll ever do. But you can help us through this by telling us you understand. Boy, do you understand. And it's a little bit easier for you and others, but for us, sometimes it's more difficult because we have to contend with this black skin of ours, and we can't hide it. The stamp is on our face, and we must wear it every day. But I tell you, African Americans, you must wear it proudly. You must wear it with dignity and no longer showing your grills and your plaques and gold, but showing your pearly white teeth and holding your shoulders back with your kinky hair and saying, my dignity is more important to me than anything else. And it is going to be more profitable than any gold chains or gold grills, because my dignity is not for sale. You could not steal it from me, or will I have it up for sale? I will hold on to my dignity for the rest of my life, and I will guard myself, and I will see to it that all men is respected, irregardless of who he is. I'm going to get a drum roll as we go out of here, and I want to tell you, hold your head up, keep your head up.